Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have Irma with me. Irma Perrone, founder of Perrone Group, is a strategic advisor, speaker, and author who helps companies develop business owners and leaders to impact change, improve processes, and create a culture that creates the type of loyalty where customers not only stick with you, but also highly recommend you to others. She is a graduate of the Industrial Relations Studies program at Cornell University, and earn her certification from the Industrial Relations Society of Organizational Development. Her life successes are well known. The world-famous Gallup organization twice ranked Irma's group in their world-class category for workplace quality. On July 5th, 2022, Irma published the two-time award-winning book, WinX, The Problem-Solving Model to Win Exponentially with Customers, Employees, and your bottom line. I am so honored to have you. I would love for you to really just share your entrepreneurial journey with us today, and then we'll dive a little bit deeper from there.
Sure. So I was in a leadership role for many, 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 many years. In fact, the last 15 years before I started my own company, I was a senior vice president and I ran business throughout Florida for my company. I had about 12 to 1500 employees. And my mother was sick. I'm in Florida. She was in Pittsburgh. My brother called me one day and said, you have to take her. He wasn't sure how to handle it. She had dementia. So I brought her down, moved her 3 miles away from me. It was wonderful, but I traveled all week and she was already confused. So I called my boss one day and said, I'll give you whatever notice you need, but I got to go. So 2 months later, I was unemployed, officially unemployed. Mm-hmm. And I loved the last 3 years I got to spend with my mother, but I also missed, you know, I needed the mind part of my business, of my work. So I started my own consulting firm doing the piece that I love the most, which is the high value service, organization, leadership, development, growth, helping people grow and be great at what they do. So that's how I got here.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm sure I know a lot of my friends are dealing with that right now with their mothers, in particular with dementia, and just how that can really take a toll on the family. But it was the catalyst to really start your own business and really do something that was so fulfilling for you, but helping so many people on that journey as well. And I know you've accomplished so much in your time. And I know you work with larger organizations and small individually run business owners. So I'm curious if you could share one or two of your typical roadblocks you have identified for each and how our listeners can really learn from them.
So for larger businesses, one of the things that I noticed, first of all businesses, all business owners and leaders have a problem with focusing on the right things, right? There's so many things to do. How do we know? What do we do? How do we get all this done? And what is most important? So that's across the board. Mm-hmm. So one of the things is I first focus on that. With larger businesses, I find, and this was very relevant with my first larger company that I worked with, was that they didn't have any real metrics, right? So they knew that they had performance metrics as far as sales, mm-hmm. and customer retention and things like that. But how do you get there, right? What are the leading indicators? What are the lagging indicators? In other words, if I need to increase sales, right, what are the things that I need to do to get there? Right. So putting in those metrics is very important. For small businesses, I think it's the things that I work with the most is, again, time management, organization, you know, how to make sure if they have a meeting. A lot of these small business owners haven't been through typical leadership thing. So how do I have a meeting and make sure that people, whether it's a customer or even if it's one employee, know what to do next? Where do they write things down so they don't forget? If they talk to a client and need to follow up, where do they put that? So how to organize things, and then how to find clients and how to keep clients, right? How to bring in that revenue and how to make sure that it continually flows. So those are just a couple of the things, or the top ones, I guess. And I think that's what your question was.
Yes, it absolutely was. And you're right. I can attest to that with the time management, the organization. Where do I focus when I started my first business over 5 years ago now, but really being able to maybe have that service earlier on, it would have saved me so much time and energy and focusing on the right things. And that's what's so important. So you can increase that revenue, because I know just hearing from a lot of the testimonials that you've had from clients that have had so much success, even on your website, there's so many business owners that have so much success from your tactics and what you, the skill sets that they've learned by working with you. So I would love for you to share maybe just one or two of the so many that you've had clients, but any success stories that you would like to share with us today.
Well, I think the two that stand out for me is the one company that I had mentioned. It was the first company that I really worked with. It was of a larger size. And it you know, there's a group of partners, and the one partner and their accountants, but they run a management company. And the partner that took over, an amazing, amazing, amazing woman. But, you know, she had never, she was then the COO. She's now the president. But when she first took over, they had no metrics. They had no way to measure performance. They needed a lot of structure in their leadership. And I will tell you that they have doubled their size. Again, she's now promoted to president. I mean, this company has, in every indicator, just blown it away. So I'm very proud of them. They just do so much and work so hard. And you know, a lot of clients, it's very interesting, because I'll fire myself. Like if somebody's not doing the work and I can't help them be successful, then they're wasting their money and their time. And that doesn't, that's not good for me. I'm not in here for the money. Although I want the money, that's not my main priority. So she definitely does the work. And then another business that was in terrible shape, it was at a, I think, 52% customer retention rate, and a whole team of employees who were just disgruntled. And, you know, there were so many things bad. I could spend 3 hours talking about this. But the bottom line was, we had to, when you have to replace a lot of people, you know, find the ones who are capable, who maybe just have had bad leadership, and take them and mold them and develop them. That's so much fun for me. So I don't think I slept for 6 months. I really don't. I mean, I rarely slept. I couldn't do that now. I would die. But we got that customer retention up to 92.5%. It took about a year and a half. But that's one of the fun things that I like to talk about.
And I think that's a really important aspect too of client retention or employee retention, especially of when a business isn't having the best leadership, and being able to kind of reevaluate and remold it where it can grow, it can have that success that they're looking for. But it's also, it's about those relationships that you're having on a day-to-day basis and being able to really implement that so people can move forward in growing the business, versus having, when you have bad leadership, that can really be such a negative thing, and it can spread so quickly and not be able to produce what they're trying to produce. But I love that that's what your strength is, of really going in there. Not so great that you didn't get a lot of sleep those 6 months in particular. But, and I love that you said too, it took a year and a half. So it doesn't happen overnight. And I think a lot of times that can get misconstrued or not happening overnight. What are your thoughts around that too, of just that timeline?
Well, you know, this was a big organization, right? Mm-hmm. So a smaller organization where there aren't hundreds of employees, it's a little different. So a smaller organization, I mean, there are some things you can change on a dime.
Yeah.
If there's an employee problem, and the problem is their attitude or how they're talking to people, it's either, you know, it's, this is simple stuff. You can either do it or you can't. Yeah. And they can, but they either want to or they don't.
Exactly.
But then there's other things that take a longer period of time, right? When we train and develop and put training modules together so that everybody knows every piece of everything they do. A lot of times we know so much about our business that we think when we hire somebody, even if they have experience, it's not the experience that maybe we want them to have, right? So we assume, well, they should know what they're doing, you know, or I told them. And then when I go to the employees and say, what are the expectations? And I go to the boss and say, what are the expectations? There's like a lot of times two different answers. And that in itself is a problem. So it depends again on the size of the organization, the different types of problems that we're dealing with. But some things can be fixed very quickly. Mm-hmm. Other things can take a year and a half, 2 years. Some people work on things over years. So you have to look at your own thing and say, what do I need? And am I fixing the right problem? Because if I am focused on the wrong thing, then I'll keep having the same problem over and over.
That's very true. And what came to mind when you were talking about that is because I used to be a marriage and family therapist. And so the couple that would come into me, one would have one expectation, the other would have another expectation. They would assume, and just like you use the example of the boss and the employee, the expectations were different, right. But it's bridging that. And I love that from what I'm gathering is you bridge that for them so they can understand, okay, what is the overall expectations to really help and find the right issue so you can resolve it versus looking at kind of like the darts and which way do you go, but really having that clear vision of where right. The next step is.
Exactly.
Exactly. Great example. Thank you for sharing that. And so I did see that you have a bunch of partners that you work with. Can you share a little bit about what they do and how you select them and why our listeners would benefit from using them?
When I started my bit, you know, I came from a corporate setting for years. I was in corporate settings, right? Before I was a regional vice president, I was a general manager. So when I got into my own business, I realized, man, I have nobody to help me. I have nobody to help me do this stuff. So I found myself looking for things or trying to do things on my own. And again, it took me into a time management issue. And then I was picking the wrong people. So what I decided to do was hire a bunch of partners who are experts in their field. So for example, a small business might need a human resource manager. They can't afford a human resource manager, but they might have an employee or two. And they certainly don't want to get into wage and hour laws and different things like that. And they want to make sure they follow all the laws. Yes. Some people need a website. Some people need marketing. I have a bunch of about 15 different partners. And what I do is I screen them. And I only screen them for two things. I screen them for high value service. In other words, I have a bunch of people that I've talked to who said this person is absolutely exceptional at what they do. Mm-hmm. And I've stuck with them and I keep coming back to them. And they're trustworthy, they're loyal, and they're good customer service providers. Because again, I'm about a high value service type company. Right. So, and then we have an agreement between us, but there's no cost for the customer for what I do for any of that screening. Mm-hmm. And let's say you needed somebody to do your website or you know, one of the other partners that I have. If you hired, I'd put you two together. If you hired them, they can't charge you any more than they would charge you mm-hmm. if you found them on your own. And after that, I do follow-up surveys. Or calls, and I'll say, hey, how's the service? Because I only want to keep people on my bench that are very high service level and that are doing a great job for my customers. So that's kind of the story behind my bench of partners.
I love that. And it goes back to the high value and just being able to build trust and relationships with knowing that the service is going to be provided at a high level, but also they're getting that value from it as well. And being able to keep that circle. And I love the follow-up because I think that's such an important piece of anything we do for success, but you have to follow up, but really doing your due diligence of continuing to follow up and not letting anything fall through the cracks.
The other thing that does is it helps me keep my clients focused on what they need. Yes. Right. I'm confident that these people are good providers and can give them whatever they need. And we don't have to worry too much about it. Of course, we have to monitor it and things like that, but we can keep them focused on the big picture and how to grow their business or how to support their customers or their employees or, you know, whatever their issues are.
Absolutely. And it's not being stretched too thin as well. And that's what I'm gathering from what you're saying. It really is keeping the focus on how focus on what they're good at and allowing other people to come in that they're good at that and being able to use the resources and delegate.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so a lot of my listeners are entrepreneurs. And what do you think they would benefit from reading your book, WinX?
Well, WinX is a problem-solving model to win exponentially with customers, employees, and your bottom line. So whether you have employees or not, it's about problem-solving and decision-making. And every decision we make, every issue we act on, creates our reputation, right? And it impacts other people in one way or another. Absolutely. So, you know, if you're having a problem making decisions, and most decisions, believe it or not, are emotional. And so if you can have a structured problem solving model, so you can go for even from, you know, what is the real problem? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just talked, you know, to somebody who had a problem with their sink. And what they didn't think they had, but you know, there was a little leak in their faucet and they just kept wiping it up. Well, what she didn't realize, she told me, was that wasn't the problem. The problem was the pipe below. So she had to have the whole floor replaced, right? So if you're not looking at what's the real problem and then what's the root cause of the problem, who's it impacting right now? So all of those issues. What are different methods of problem solving? What are the pros and the cons? What worked best for me? Mm-hmm. So there's a whole, it's an 8-step process that anybody, large business, small business, can improve upon the bigger picture.
And that's what it's about. It is the bigger picture, but we are focusing on these little things like the faucet, like the leaking. If you're just fixing the leaking, the problem's still going to occur. And that happens in everything that we do if we're not taking a step back and pausing before reacting, like actually using our logic thinking versus the emotional. Because a lot of times we do make decisions based off of emotions. However, when it comes to business and our relationships, it's being able to really understand that decision is going to have an impact, whether it's positive or negative. But I love that I know the 8 steps too of being able to have the clarity to make those decisions in an effective way and problem solve, because that's what we're doing as entrepreneurs is problem solving. There's a problem, here's the solution. And that's exactly what you've been able to accumulate into WinX. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that.
Of course. Thank you.
Absolutely. And so what are maybe 2 or 3 tips as entrepreneurs that we can really benefit from hearing from you, just your experience that you've learned along the way?
Well, there's a few things. Number one, and in my book, I talk about WinX, and that's looking at a triangular view. You know, when you're working on an issue or when you want to do something, if you're just looking internally, that's wonderful, right? But if you could look at how everything impacts other people in your life and in your business, it absolutely will come back to you. If you're out networking, I love people who go into a networking event and say, here's my card, I'm wonderful. Here's my card, I'm wonderful. Here's my card, I'm wonderful. Rather than, what do you do? How can I support you? What are a couple things that you need right now? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people think, well, Arma can't really help me because whatever. Mm-hmm. But they don't know that just buying my book and leaving a review would be a wonderful support for me. So asking people how you could support them, and then really focusing on, what do I need? Mm-hmm. Where am I now? Where do I need to be? And am I really focused on the right thing? Mm-hmm. People work so hard. They go home exhausted at the end of the day and they still don't get ahead because they're not really narrowly focusing and determining, what do I really need to do to take that next step? And if people do things like that, consider other people, focus on the big picture,
yeah,
those are the real, and then find out exactly what resources they need to get there or what they need to do to get there. I mean, those are a few things that can really help people kick it up.
Those are gold. And I completely agree. You know, just even the networking event that you mentioned, the first one of just going in and giving your card versus what can I do to support you? And I've noticed such a shift for myself when I would go to networking events. I wouldn't be the one giving the card, but I would like be taking everyone else's cards. And as time I've learned too, of just what can I do to support you? And I think that's like the therapist in me, the old therapist in me.
Yeah, that's good because you stand out. Everybody else is shoving their card in their face, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I agree. It's when I would get those cards, I'm like, oh, this person with this person, let's connect them.
Right.
But I think it's like building relationships and really asking for what you need. But going back to like what you said with the resources, like understanding what do you need to move the needle forward? And a lot of times I think we look at the bigger picture, but looking at kind of working backwards of, okay, well, that's the end goal. What do I need to take every step? And that's what I'm hearing from you as well. It's taking each step and not working harder than you need to. It's really working smarter of understanding what is the need right now so I can further along my business, but also being able to have a greater impact. Because you've mentioned that a few times, and I think I just wanted to highlight it because it is the impact. We have such a beautiful platform to really impact people in a positive way. And how are we doing that every day?
Right.
And I love that's what you do and embody.
And you brought up a great point. If you could look in the future, you know, where do you want to be even in a year? What do I have to do today to get there? Not what am I doing, but what do I need to do? And if you don't know, it's okay. None of us know everything.
No.
Reach out, get some help, right?
Yes, absolutely. Right. If we had all the answers, we wouldn't need each other.
We would not. We would not. That is correct.
That is correct.
That is correct.
But I so appreciate this conversation so far, Irma. But we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Sure.
The first question is, who is your hero?
I'm going to make two people out of this. So my mother is my hero because her parents were both passed when she was a toddler, and her 14-year-old sister raised five of them. And I mean, they had to burn fire to stay warm, and they had to go to the store and pretend like they had a dog to get dog bones to make soup and things. But she was so positive. It's not just that she went through it, but some people are very negative. She was so positive. And my father was just the greatest man in the world. I mean, we didn't have a lot, but I didn't know that. I had no idea. And he would give the shirt off his back. And I was so blessed to be raised by them that they're my heroes. So I added one on.
Well, they sound like incredible individuals that created somebody incredible as well.
They're both gone, but I'm very blessed to have had them in my life. Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
And what motivates you to work smarter?
You know, what motivates me to work is seeing results, is getting results, is watching people really take information and run with it, ask questions if they're not clear. Just like the lady that I told you that I work with, who is so amazing. I mean, she takes it and runs with it. She's had me work with some of her employees who just, they didn't follow up, they didn't follow through. And I said, client, I just fired myself because I don't want you paying me for the, you know, those people like just take every bit of life out of me. Mm-hmm. As far as working smarter, it's just a matter of learning. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, my education's both in industrial relations and organizational development. So we can work hard. Mm-hmm. But if we're not working on the right things and focused in the right areas, we're just going to be spinning our wheels. I hope I answered that question.
Perfectly. And I couldn't agree more too. It's the energy that we put into something. I love that you say you fire yourself because there is that element of you shouldn't work harder than your client. It's an equal partnership, I believe, because you're putting in the work, but they are too.
Right. But that's not why I fire myself. I don't mind working hard, but right. I don't want to let my client down. Like I could work and keep getting paid to work with this person, but if they're not doing anything, if they're not going to improve, they're wasting their money, and that certainly doesn't help my reputation. And high value service is very important to me. So that's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I completely agree with that because it is the effort that they're putting in too. They have to meet you somewhere. You can't be doing all the work. And there's nothing wrong with working hard by any means. However, I think it's important. And that's why I just want to highlight too, like that high level that you've brought through all your clients, you can only serve the people that want to receive that as
Correct.
Well.
Right.
And what is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Well, most people would say it was skydiving, you know, jumping out of an airplane. But I really, I think the most daring thing I ever did was write that book. My first book, I was a co-author and there was a company behind it and they did a lot of the work. And, you know, it ended up being an international best-selling book, but I wrote my piece of it and that's all I did.
Right.
But when I wrote this book, it was everything. And it took me 5 years. And when I published it, I was scared to death. I thought, what if people don't like it? I had a dream one night that I had a book signing and people were in there, but nobody came over. Somebody came over and said, oh, I feel so bad for you. Nobody's buying your book. I mean, it was scarier than anything.
Yeah.
So I think that's funny enough, I think that's the most daring thing I did.
That is very daring. And since we are talking a little bit more about your book too, I know you said it was a 5-year process, but could you kind of share with us what was that process like? Because I know you said you had co-authored a book originally, but this was so different because it was your baby. What was that process like for you?
Well, I wrote the book and then I scratched it completely. I had a friend who's a best-selling author, a multiple best-selling author. He's not even in this country. He's a wonderful man. And I had him helping me and looking at it. He said, it's way too broad. You know, it was more of a leadership. And there's so many things with leadership, right? From how to hire, how to do all these things. So he said, narrow it. He kept saying, narrow it down. So I finally focused, and every company has problems. Everyone. And I really am considered a problem solver. I mean, that's how I'm a consultant, but I solve a lot of problems. So I thought, and then I found somebody local. I mean, it's all about resources, right?
Yeah.
Finding the right people. I have a wonderful woman that's in Chicago that helps me. And I'm glad to share that information with anybody that wants it. But she really helped me pull it together. I mean, everything from the cover to the table of contents to everything. So it was long. And then I kept tweaking it. I think I had 4 different people edit it to make sure I didn't have one mistake in it. You know, I'm a little fussy. I had a couple friends who were amazing that helped me. I'm so glad. I know they were so glad when I finally published this book. But it was a process.
It sounds like it, but it sounds like it was worth the wait too.
And it was. I'm very happy. I mean, it's doing great. It's got a couple awards already. And the reviews are coming out great. So I'm very blessed. And I had a lot of great support to help me get there.
That's amazing. And I know I appreciate that you've published the book because I started reading it as well.
Thank you.
Of course, of course. I think it's about support, but it's also about just learning from other people that have been there and have the answers that can really help you just move the needle. Even if one thing that's in that book that can really help them, but the 8 steps of just understanding each one can really be so beneficial. Even if you feel like you know it all, we don't.
No, we don't.
The secret.
At my age, I wish I could say I know it all. Of course, I tell my husband I do. So if you ever meet him, don't share that I'm not perfect. He thinks I am. Every year I say I am not going to invest in more development and more books and more. And every year I do. But then I love to learn. I love to develop. So
absolutely.
I'm just weird like that, I guess.
No, I guess I'm weird with you. Because I think we're lifelong learners because
yes.
I don't think we can know it all. I think every person we encounter can teach us something new, no matter where they come from. And I love that you've been able to help so many people and you've had so much success, but I so appreciate your time, your energy, and your beautiful soul coming on today. But can you share where people can find you, your book? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Sure. So my website is paronegroup.com. That's paronegroup.com. you could, you know, there's a pop-up for my book right there. There's information on what I do. You can go to Amazon for my book, but the trick is the book is called WinX, but there's no space. So it's W-I-N-X. People buy it and think it's called Winks. You could find me on LinkedIn. That's where I mostly live, on LinkedIn. I am on, you know, the other social media platforms, at least a couple of them, but I pretty much live on LinkedIn.
Perfect. Well, make sure to get a copy of WinX. It's definitely worth it so far, as I can attest. But thank you so much, Irma, for just coming on and sharing everything and all your wisdom. We so appreciate it. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Irma? I'm sure she would love to see that comment as well. And we'll see you on the next video.